Do you ever wonder if there might be more to this faith stuff that perhaps you're missing out? In the book of Matthew, Jesus tells us that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When we find it, we hide it and sell all that we have to go and buy that field. Think about it, how incredible the kingdom of heaven must be. Yet to most of us, it remains a mystery. Where is it? What is it? How do we find it? In this series, Field of Dreams, it's time to answer those questions. God wants you to find the Field of Dreams. In the movie, the catchphrase was, "Build it and they will come." The truth is, God has already built it, and His invitation to us is to come. Come, all who are weary and heavy laden, and He will give you rest. That is what is going to happen in this series. I invite you to plan to be there. I invite you to bring your friends. I invite you to join us as we find the kingdom, walk in it, and lay hold of the treasure that lies there.
That's here for the film. Come on. Is Phil in the house? Phil Beebe? He's at the back, apparently. Phil's our film maestro. If anyone needs any film made, he's in the back in the corner. Look at that. Ready to make a swift exit. Phil, love you, man. Thank you. So look, I want you to see that because we're starting a new series today entitled The Field of Dreams. And it's based on the parable of the hidden treasure. And I'm going to read the entire parable to you. It's one verse. You don't need to turn to it. You just need to concentrate, because it'll be over very quickly. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. I'm going to read it again. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again, and then in his joy went and sold all that he had and bought that field. And I want to say that I planned this series about 3 months ago, and the plan was to teach on the kingdom of God, right? And the reason for that is that the kingdom of God is confusing, right? How many of you say, no, I totally get the kingdom of God? Right? The kingdom of God is confusing. Right, and here's the thing the parable says about the kingdom of God. You'll know when you have found it because you'll want to sell everything else to lay hold of it. Everything else. And, you know, I think this is the challenge of the kingdom of God, because what I would say to you is, you know, we call ourselves Christians, we come to church, but have you actually found the kingdom of God? Have you found something that you would want to sell everything else to lay hold of it? I wonder, you know, I wanted to show that film again now because, you know, actually I had a friend come up to me and jokingly said, oh yeah, I saw that movie where you're wandering around aimlessly lost in a field. And you know what? It struck me. I think sometimes we are like that. We're in the field, guys. We're in the field. We're Christians. We're in the field. But where's the treasure? Have we found that peace that we want to sell everything to lay hold of that? Have we found that thing that is explosive, transforming, you know, renewing, that is like, you know, eclipses everything else? I just want that. I think we can go our entire lives. I think there are seasons in the history of the church that go on forever. There are whole, I mean, there, it's so easy to miss it because it's hidden. Is hidden treasure, right? We can wander around the field. We spend a lot of time trying to avoid getting bitten by ticks. It's just like life, right? But the guys, this is about the treasure. We won't understand the kingdom until we get a head around the treasure. And so I suppose what I wanted to do this morning, I want to start by sharing some testimony with you, some of my story that's happened recently. Because if I'm honest with you, I'm looking back now, even when I'm planning this series, I would say now that I've been wandering around in the field for a long time, and I've had glimpses of treasure, but I've been wandering around in the field, but not yet found it. And I want to just be honest with you that much of this year has been very challenging. Much of this year has been very challenging indeed. And particularly recently, in the early part of the year, I was really wrestling with anxiety. Anxiety has been an old friend of mine for a very long time. And there's been kind of moments. In 2015, I had a complete burnout. It just all became too much. You know, the thing about churches, there's so many different things going on when you're trying to lead a church and you're trying to do a good job and you're trying to do all this nonsense and it just keeps coming. In 2015, it was just all too much. And truth is, beginning of this year, I started to feel the same symptoms, the same sense. I want to say that the staff here and the council have been amazing. They've been supportive because the one thing I did differently to the last time was I told them all. But still, I've been really fighting with this sense of being overwhelmed and anxious. And then on top of that, and a part of it, there's been this sense and this frustration for a very long time here. It's like, Lord, we believe in the stuff, right? We believe in a God that does this stuff. And we're trying to do all this thing. We're trying to make that happen. But where, you know, we believe in a God that heals, but where is the healing, right? We believe in a God who transforms lives. But where, you know, where are you moving in power, Lord? I just don't see it. And there's just been this frustration for a very long time. And that's why the hawk appearing in the study was so profound, because that's what it is. It's felt like I've been trying and we've been trying and we've been working so diligently and so hard and we're not doing anything wrong and we're just not seeing that breakthrough. And it's like we've been hitting our head. I feel like I've been hitting my head. When I felt the Lord say, this is what it's like, I'm like, yes, Lord, that's what it's like. And I've started to doubt my calling. And I know because I've had conversations with many of you. But Al, you did such a great job, right? And I've been feeling like a failure. And there was one Sunday this summer. It was VBX Sunday, actually. And on paper, this was the most magnificent Sunday. Because the church was packed with children. It was packed with people. And we had great worship. And we talked about what had happened on VBX. Some of you remember this. And then we had like a cookout afterwards. I mean, it was everything you would want a church community to be. And yet I'm like, this is it. I got to quit. I'm done. And I've got to tell you, the thing I remember about that Sunday, I'm actually standing at the back and people are going out. And in my mind, I'm just like, I'm at the end. And Jamie, God bless you, where are you? I know you're here this morning. Jamie comes up to me and goes, isn't this a magnificent Sunday? It's all just fantastic. You must be the happiest man alive. And I smiled as I do, because this is me angry and upset and happy. I cried all the way home. I'm like, Lord, you want me? It's probably time for me to leave this beloved church. And Jamie, I just want to say this. I felt the Lord say that you're a man with a word in season, always. And he wanted me to say that to you publicly. Because that was a word in season. I needed to hear that. Because it's like a landmark for me, you see. And so do not be ashamed. Right? Do not be ashamed of the prophetic gift that God has given you. He's calling you to use it more and more boldly. Amen. Bless you, man. I love you. But I wanted to share that story because that was where we got to. And of course, the thing that sustained me was the following the hawk. I got this sense of needing to pray for 100 hours. And so I'm just praying. And I want to tell you, they were hard hours of prayer. Because I'm really wrestling and I'm fighting with God. And I'm like, these 100 hours are going to finish on the Sunday that we kick off into the fall. Because this is about the church. And, you know, surely God's going to do something and we're going to let us out of the box. And kickoff Sunday came and it was good. It was fine. But you know what? I was about 75 hours of prayer. And I'm like, this is a bit odd. And as time went on, I'm like, oh, hold on. It looks more like this is going to end around the time we go to Bethel. right? And now, I don't know how many of you heard of Bethel Church. There's this church in Redding, California. I didn't know too much about it, except there's a stack load of worship that comes out of there. It has a reputation for being a place where God shows up, and there are many, many powerful miracles, right? I also had heard some questionable things from certain people, like myself, who hadn't done any research and were questioning their theology. But I'm like, there's nothing happening. You know, God isn't having me. So what a good thing. Why don't I take our ministry team, our people that like to pray, and we'll go to Bethel, right? And that'll encourage them. And so 11 of us went off to Bethel. But really, this is the stuff that's churning around in my heart as I go. And the odd thing happened is my 100 hours of prayer finished on the morning of the conference. It's a three-day conference. They call it Open Heavens, which honestly, I'm like, that's a bit of oversell, but whatever. I want you to know that this conference was not what I was expecting, right? In the world I live, in the box that my little hawk has operated in, what happens is you do worship, you come up at the end, you get prayed for, and then there's a powerful kind of prophetic something, and you get blown away, and it's really exciting, right? Well, what actually you encountered was incredibly long times of worship. We worshiped probably for about 3 days. I had to sit down because my back's hurting. I'm like, Lord, really? I worship you, Lord. Right? And long talks. Long talks, I'm not kidding you. So it was Wednesday night, it started Thursday. We got there early because we were enthusiastic. We got there early, like 7:15 in the morning or something, to line up to get in the door. And we were there at about 10:30 at night. The guy had spoken for 3 hours. Yeah, I just want you to hear that. My sermons are great. 3 hours? By the end of the day, I went up and got prayed for on Wednesday night, and I'm like, yeah, that's not it. In fact, I was right on the edge. They had these chairs. I got the last guy in the line, and the people were leaving, and about 50 people kind of went like this to make sure I wasn't standing in the way as they went past. And it was just one of those moments. I was thoroughly poured. It's by the end of Thursday, I didn't even bother going out for prayer. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done. And Friday came around. I need to say there were some extraordinary things happening on Friday. But even by the time I left early to make sure I was back here in time for Sunday, I left. I missed the evening session. And even by the time I got in the car, I'm like, I'm not really sure. I'm not really sure. But, you know, I got in the car. I had a 2-hour drive up to Sacramento. And I put some worship music on, and I just started worshiping. And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, I just want to worship. And I got to the hotel, and you know, this was a really nice little hotel in the airport there, and they had a bar, and there was full of all these kind of people that were obviously traveling, and you know, it would have been just so easy to go to the bar, and I'm like, I don't want to go to the bar. I don't want to eat. I just want to go to my room and pray and worship. I'm like, that's a bit odd. I want you to know. I would say I'm always like that, but I'd be lying. And the next day, I'm like, you know, I've got this long journey. I've got various flights and things. I'm just going to put my headphones in. And I'm just going to worship the whole way. I'm going to worship the whole way. And I got back here and I spoke on Sunday. Some of you remember. I mean, I just wanted to cry the whole time. And in fact, I managed to get to the end of my sermon and then we're worshiping. And I was like in pieces. You see, something changed. Something's changed since then. Something has changed in my life since that conference, right? And I want to just say to you, I said this the other week, but I'm going to continue to say it. It's been about 3 weeks now. I think I've been healed of anxiety. I'll tell you this. I went to see my therapist, right, who I just started going to see recently. And I went to see him and I'm like, Lord, what am I going to say? I got nothing to talk about. And I felt him say, well, you should just tell him exactly what's happened to you in Bethel. So I go in and I tell him the whole thing. And we get to the end of the time there. And I mean, we actually had quite an interesting conversation. But I'm like, wow, you know, that was exciting. I got to tell you the whole thing, right? And at the end, I stood up and I said, well, look, thank you so much for today. And he goes, no, I think I should be thanking you. I'm like, that's the way it works, right? That's great, fantastic. I can bless him. And you know, something else has happened in this whole sense of God moving, right? God moving in power, which is, I just feel like there's this possibility of now anywhere I go, I could see God moving in power. It's been so exciting. I want to tell you, the week is Don Kelly here. Is Don Kelly in the room? Oh, that's great. I can tell all stories about him, right? So I went out for lunch. I've been back like 2 days, and we went out to lunch. We met at the Midwood Smokehouse, which is where I am most of the time. And, you know, we're sitting there, and right at the beginning of the meal, the waitress comes up to the table to take the order, and I felt the Lord say, the road in front of her is wide open. And I'm like, what? What? And so I went through the whole meal. I was talking to Don. I was concentrating on everything he said, honestly. But really, I'm like, Lord, what have you got something for this lady? And so finally, she comes back, and I'm like, I've just got to tell you. I've just got to tell you. I really feel. And then, you know, sometimes when we step into these things, we get the rest. I said, the Lord sees you. And it's like there have been all these hurdles along your way, but the road is wide open in front of you. And she goes, what? She said, I've been doing all these exams, and it's been one hurdle after another, and I'm just taking the final ones this week. Now, I was ready to baptize her with my soda water. She goes, that's really interesting. See you later. And she walks off. I'm like, Lord, thank you. But you see, it just, you know, it feels to me like all things are possible. I felt the Lord say to me, do you know, it's going to be, things are going to start happening now. It's like we've been doing this stuff, but there's going to be an acceleration. And it's like there's going to be a wave of emotional healing and then physical healing and deliverances. Right? And you see, even today, as I'm praying over these guys, normally I would just splash the oil, but I started feeling the Lord speak to them, right? And actually, I went back to Dinez afterwards. I'm not going to tell you what I felt the Lord say to her, because she was going out to the kids. And I just put my hands on her shoulder and I said, this is actually what God is saying to you. And in about 30 seconds, she was pouring out crying, because she was experiencing exactly what Miriam just said about the hope of God, right? And I'm like, I've got so much hope now that it's coming. And far from losing my call, I feel like I've found my call. I feel like I've found the call, right? We've found the call. I feel like I've found the call. Like, I just want to tell everyone about this all the time. It won't take 3 hours, I promise you. 2.5. But here's the deal. The reason I wanted to tell you all of that kind of stuff is I found the treasure, guys. I found the treasure. I don't feel like I'm wandering around in the field anymore. I found the treasure. And you know what? Ticks, have a go at me, man, because I've found the treasure. Actually, you shouldn't invite that, really, should we? Lord, forgive me for that, right? I take it back in Jesus' name, right? I found the treasure. And so I want to, if nothing else today, right? This whole series is going to be about treasure, guys. Hopefully, every talk evermore is going to be about the treasure. The treasure that is the kingdom of God. The weekend away, guess what it's going to be about? Treasure. And we've got some fields up there as well. We can go wandering around with spades. I want to just, if nothing else today, I hope that you will leave very clear what the treasure is. I'm just going to, just a few reflections, and the first thing is this, that when this parable says that the treasure is hidden, it's very real, right? It is very easy to miss the treasure that is the kingdom of heaven. It's very easy to miss it, right? That's why most of us are going to go, well, where exactly is the kingdom? What exactly is the kingdom of heaven? It's because it's hidden. And it's very easy to miss, right? And I want to say part of the problem is there are a lot of obvious things, right, that are valuable and important, that are good, and they're much easier to see and much easier to find, right? Because they're obvious, right? Such as coming to church, such as Bible studies, right? Such as life groups, such as serving the poor, such as doing all these things. We had an amazing trunk and treat yesterday. Thank you, Patty and Larry and everyone else on your team. It was phenomenal down with the refugee support services, right? So there are so many valuable and good things that we do. But I want to just say to you, how many of you would sell everything you have to make it to church on a Sunday? I might be shooting myself in the foot now. Thank you. I love you. Yes. Right? I mean, if we're super honest, right, I hear people say, well, you know, it was raining, so Right? And I know because I see the numbers when the Panthers are playing, we have less people here. I mean, it's the reality, right? Life gets busy, but that's not the kingdom. What he says is the kingdom is I sell everything and I don't care about anything else. Right? And so what I want to say, church is not the treasure. Bible study is not the treasure. Hopefully these are places where we find the treasure. Right? But this is part of the problem. part of the problem. You see, it's amazing to think that in Bethel Church, there are people lining up for hours. I stood for hours. And part of me was like, why am I doing this? Especially after the 3-hour talk the night before. I'd line up for 5 hours now. Because you see, I have the treasure. And so I'm just going to say this to you, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it, but I want to tell you exactly what the treasure is. Because when I'm referring to the treasure, when I'm referring to this thing that is more valuable than anything else, I'm talking about the presence of Jesus. Let me just say that again. The presence of Jesus, right? The actual presence. His actual reality, our actual encounter with him, right? This, I think, is the incredible gift of Bethel to the world. Why people travel there, why you're seeing already fire building here, because it only took 11 of us to go, and already it's spreading, right? It's because their gift is not worship, although their worship is amazing. And incidentally, I've fallen in love with their worship because their worship's about Jesus. I've realized a lot of our worship songs are not worship songs. They're stories or prayers or whatever. But a worship song is where we're saying, Jesus, you are amazing. Do you see what I mean? It's not the teaching, although the teaching is good. It's the presence of Jesus. I think we have had a wrong theology for a while now. A wrong theology, right? And the theology goes something like this. If I'm good, if I pray the right prayers, God might break in. We might have this moment, this kind of, whew, God might touch me. Do you know what I mean? But that's not actually what the Bible says. What the Bible says is, I will be with you always. The Bible says nothing can separate you from the love of God, right? The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will come and indwell us, and the presence of God will be with us, right? Isn't that God's greatest gift at Christmas? Emmanuel, God with us? And so if we think that he's out there somewhere and that we've got this kind of, if we do the right thing, we might get a touch, right? Then we're missing the point. The point is we actually have access to Jesus' presence. And that's the thing that when we find it, we want to sell everything for, right? And I want to say, I'm going to just put this out there. Here's the great challenge. It is much easier to know about Jesus than to know Jesus. Right? In fact, we can get in this mode where we become experts, just like the Pharisees, just like, I mean, there are many people that know lots. You can go to Bible school and you can know all about Jesus and not have found the treasure. You can be day one in the church and have found the treasure. I was watching a talk by Bill Johnson that nearly just knocked me off my seat. In fact, it was an interview, and he just happened to mention it was a casual thing, and I'm like, oh my gosh. And he said, you know, the trouble is so many of us go to church, and what we're looking for is principles. We're looking for principles. Can I have a good talk for some principles to apply to my life? And that's not bad, but it's not the treasure. He said, what if we went to church not looking for principles, not just looking for principles, we went looking for presence. If we went looking for the presence of God, you see, then we'll be changed. This is what I think actually happened when I went to Bethel. I went looking for instructions. Lord, give me the playbook, right, for the next season. Just give me the list. It's easy. You can just get some prophet to write it down. He said, no, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you me. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Do you know, and I came back and I said to Nikki, and she, you know, I hadn't even really had taught very much to her, so this was incredibly prophetic. I said, okay, now what do I do? I found Jesus, now what do I do? And she said, doesn't Jesus say in the Bible, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And it's like he's saying, if we just, that's why it says seek first the kingdom. We seek him first and everything else will come. If we seek first the presence, right? And I suppose I just wanted to reflect that it seems to me increasingly that if we can do this, if we can lay hold of the presence, right, then what we will find is that the kingdom really is worth everything. It really is worth selling everything for. Isn't this what we talk about? We've talked about this. I've always said, like, the gospel, right, is not just that we're saved later. It's that we have cake on the plate now while we wait, not just pie in the sky when we die, right? The Bible says he's come to bring sight to the blind, right, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bless us, to restore us, to renew us by the transforming of our mind. That's the good news. That's the good news. And, you know, I think part of our problem is that we have been working really hard, right? We have been doing stuff, all of us, and we've been good and we've not, and we've been pursuing God and we've been doing all the right programs and doing all the things. But one of the things that struck me is that we can't heal anyone. We can't, you know, raise the dead. We can't do anything, but Jesus can. Jesus can. And why shouldn't, if he is present, if we have a way of ushering in the presence, then why shouldn't it happen? That's what we pray when we say, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. It's the presence of God. It's the presence of God. There was a guy there, he really got my attention, because he said that he's got this church and all was going well, except they were having no healings. And he'd grown up in this whole world where there were lots of healings and transformations. And so he was going around to all these kind of well-known people, none of whom I knew, so that doesn't mean anything. I didn't come from that kind of world. But he said their names like I was supposed to know them, so I'm like, yeah, good, yeah, oh, wow. All right? And he went to one of these guys and he said, why aren't we seeing any healing in our church? And he said, well, do you know what? You're probably not leading people to Jesus then. So what if you just led them to Jesus and nothing else? What if you just led them to Jesus? And so do you know what he's done? He's renamed his ministry Jesus Image. And basically when he talks, he just says Jesus a lot. They're now one of the fastest growing churches in America. And they've got healings and all kinds of things going on. Because they're just keeping it simple and saying, what if we just focused on the presence of Jesus? I want to say to you that one of the things that has horrified me when I've thought about this is that I've been on this kind of adventure with the Lord ever since Bethel. On the morning of Bethel, after Bethel, I felt him say to me, Al, what if you decided to live life with me instead of for me? What if you chose to live life with me instead of for me? And I'm like, wow, right? That's profound. And then he goes, it'll be much more fun that way. And so I've been trying to do this. I'm spending a lot of my time, and I think this is probably my third reflection. The invitation of the kingdom is that we become like this man. We become treasure seekers, right? That we focus on what would it look like to steward the presence of God in my life, right? Rather than have these moments where if I go to church and if I'm lucky and the wind's coming from the right direction, I might get a touch. No, it's like we can walk in the presence of God. He says, I'm with you always. And so I'm like, before I tell anyone about this, I'm going to give it a shot. I've been worshiping the whole time. I got such a great new worship playlist. It's on the car. I break my day and I go off and sing somewhere and people walk in sometimes and I just shut my eyes and ignore them, right? I'm trying to say, what would it look like? And I want to say it looks completely different. It looks completely different. We have a discipleship group going on Thursday nights, about 25 people. And this Thursday, I'm like, oh, this is exciting because this is the first time I can actually lead a session with you, Jesus, instead of for you. And I'm like, wow, what are we going to do? And I want to say to you, everything changed. Everything changed. And I'm about halfway through giving a little talk, and I was focusing on one particular person. Actually, I asked someone if they had any questions, and this lady put up a hand. And I want to say, I just suddenly, there was this moment where I completely welled up, and I felt the Lord show me his heart for them. And you know, we just stopped what we were doing, and we prayed for her. And at the end of the time, again, we just gave it all over to Jesus, and we say, why don't you come and do what you want to do? I want to say to you, so much more fun! So much more fun. Because what we get to see is Jesus changing lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm in this business because I want to see Jesus change lives. Right? This is what I said last week about being all in. And I know I talked about getting your ass in the wind. Just if you haven't listened to that talk, listen to it. Because I think that's worth getting your ass in the wind for. Right? I want to step out and say, I'm all in, Jesus. I'm going to go for this thing. And do you know what? It might look a little weird. It might be a bit different, but it'd be worth it. Right? One of the things about Bethel is that they're just not stuck in a box like a hawk. They're free. They're free. And so here's the challenge. If we want to be people who are walking with Jesus and not for him, right? The challenge is we have to be present to the presence. And I've spent a lot of time thinking about this little phrase. Can we be present to the presence? And what the problem we have is, I don't know about you, but I get up in the morning and it just starts. The stuff, right? Go here, do that, right? Emails, whatever it is, right? And actually we have to push it all back and say, no, I want to start my day by being present to the presence. Right? And, I'm so pleased that I now have this pattern of having at least an hour in the morning. Right? I've now just started worshiping. The dogs love it. Howling away alongside me. And I'm like, Lord, what if I refuse to leave until I have a sense of your presence? Right? And then I go into my day and, I have meeting after meeting and the phone starts. And there comes a point where I've got to go, no, I've just got to stop. I've just got to go away and get back in your presence because I actually want to walk in your presence. actually want to try and nurture the presence. And particularly as your pastor, I definitely want to be open to the power of God. It was a shock to me. I'm like, gosh, have I on Sundays actually been open to the presence of God? And I'm not sure that I have. I'm not sure. I've been here making it happen, leading, doing the stuff, making sure it's a good talk, right? But what if, what I want to say to you guys is I'm now committing to put God first and to say his presence and what he's doing is more important. His presence, right? And so, you know, I might not be quite as chatty before services. I might not be. It's not because I don't love you dearly. It's because I want to try and steward the presence of God beforehand. Right, I've been busy before services, running around, making sure everything's ticking. I've got a great team. They've got it. Was that the Lord or what? My greatest responsibility for you is to make sure that when you come, you can encounter God. And I think the most important thing that I want to do today, like I said, I just wanted you to know, right? We're going to talk a lot more about it. But let's be super clear what the treasure is. It is the presence of Jesus, not knowing about him. Hopefully we're going to learn a lot about him. But the best way to learn about someone is by meeting them, right? And so could you consider the possibility of being a presence junkie? I'm not prepared to say that. There's lots of problems with that, isn't there? A seeker after the presence. A seeker after the presence of Jesus. Because when we find it, we'll know. And we'll sell everything. And I believe that's what God wants to do here in this place. For this to be a place where people will come and find him and be healed and changed and transformed. And he is going to lead us into that. So look, why don't we do this? Linus, you want to come up? And we will just wait on his presence. Can I invite you to stand?